Yeah, but he has to turn my mic on. I'm hearing me. How we doing, Coach? You got me? Test 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3. Good, good, good. Well, folks, we're in Hebrews 11 this week. Hebrews 11, and it's that whole thing about the heroes of faith. And I was looking at it, and when we think of the heroes of faith, what do we think of? David, what else do we think of? Patriarchs, what else? We think of the heroes, do we not? But is that chapter about the heroes, or what is it about? It's about the faith they have. So when we go through this, let's not particularly look at the individual so much as looking at what their belief was in. This is about faith. And again, what is this whole Hebrews? What is Hebrews, the book? What is the idea of the book? Don't go back. We have a much better thing going on here than what went on in the past. God has changed His plan slightly, and He's doing something a little bit different. Don't run back to that old system that has been done away with at this particular point. Now, so let's start. Let's get an idea of where we're at. And in 10, I'm going to start reading around 10:38. And this, we've heard this before. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So the just is going to live by faith, but if any man draw back from that faith, he says his soul will have no pleasure in him. But he goes on to say, but we are not them that draw back. This is not you. We are not them that draw back from perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. These are believers he's talking to. We are not these people that draw back. We are faith-believing people. We have believed in the finished work of the cross. You have believed in the finished work of the cross. That's what he's saying to these people in Hebrews. So now we jump into, we kind of roll into verse 11:1. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith. That's a good definition for faith. Now what does it mean? The substance of things hoped for. What's the idea of a substance? You can feel it, right? This is a substance. Can I feel air? Is there a substance? I can't really feel it, can I? It's tangible. It's tangible. It's something you can feel. It's a substance. Okay? Of things hoped for. Now we know this term, hoped. Hoped in our means what? What does hope mean in our term? Wishly. I hope this is going to happen. Maybe it happens or whatever. But that's not the idea they're talking about here. The idea we're talking about is, back in the Greek, was you were expected. You confided. You knew that it was going to happen. You knew that it was going to happen, right? So now we look at that verse in a total different light. Now faith is the substance. It's something tangible that you can grasp a hold of. And it's the hope of things to come. We know that it's going to be. There's something tangible out there that we know is going to come to us. It's not something that we don't believe is actually going to happen. It's true. We can feel it. But then it goes on to say, the evidence of things not seen. Can you see faith? You can see what somebody does out of faith. Our works flow from our belief and from our faith, right? But the works that we have never bring the faith forward. You must have faith first. Because the works that we do as human beings are like dirty rags, right? So you see how this substance, this thing that this tangible thing that we know is coming, can't even be seen. Can't even be seen. So how do we deal with this faith? Well, they go to he's saying, now let me give you some examples of exactly what faith is. I'm going to give you some examples. And it says, for by the elders, or for it. And what is the it he's talking about here? By faith. So the it is by faith. So by faith, the elders obtained a good report. What does that mean? You could trust what they say, right? If I'm trustworthy, I'm going to give you a good report. If I'm not trustworthy, you may say, well, wait a second. He's a little shifty. I may not believe what he has to say. These elders obtained a good report through their faith. And it says, through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God so that things that were seen, that are seen, were not made of things which do appear. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Where do we see that at? The very beginning. We go back all the way to Genesis. And who is that we're talking about there? Moses is writing this, right? So we go back to Genesis and we see that through faith we understand that these worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke the worlds into existence. So that the things that are seen were not made by things which do appear. Let's go. I'm going to bring this into a little bit more. I like going to a little bit more modern English translation sometimes. And it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. He spoke it into existence. There was nothing visible. There was no outward influence. God did this, and we understand that by faith, right? Yeah, you hear scientists saying the Big Bang Theory, all of a sudden something exploded and everything jumped into existence. Well, what comes from nothing? Nothing. So, you know, there has to be something that created the something that we see, but if there was nothing there, then how does something come from nothing? It's a big, you can run that around your head for years and still come up just as dumb as I am. But, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. I'm sure there's some physics guy out there that can take it. He can explain exactly how something comes from nothing. They will in their own ways. you understand what I'm saying? I've heard people run around in circles and try and do this stuff to explain stuff. And in the end, they can't do it. But in their own minds, they set it forth. In verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel. I'm going to jump back to my King James. By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and by which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts, and by it being, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What do we go back to for this one? Cain and Abel. Genesis 4 and 5, right? 4 and 5. And it says, Abel brought his firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel for his offerings, But under Cain and his offerings, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What was the deal here? Well, Abel brought the best. He brought the best things that he had, right? The firstlings of his flock and the fatted meat, the things that pleased God. And Cain brought his offering, but it was like, here, let me give you something. I'll give you what's left over. God doesn't want what's left over. He wants the firstlings. He wants us totally. But, yeah, like I said, and I've heard that too, but you know that it says and it stipulates, and this is kind of where I go to, it says he brought the firstlings of his flock. He got the best. Whenever people, you hear people whenever I'm sure there was people that you don't want to give up what's best, do you? Who wants the best piece of chicken in the basket? I do. Yeah. Me and Coach would go along good because I love the dark bait. Much more flavor. And it goes on to say, by faith, what do we have here? We see here, first thing was by faith, right? By faith, Abel brought this. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And who is this Enoch feller? Who is Enoch feller? We heard of a guy named Methuselah, right? He's Methuselah's father. And I will go back to, I'll read a little bit about him. It says Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And in all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What's this idea of he walked with God? He was sold out for God. He lived his life for God. Who here can say that? I see nobody raising their hand. Thank God nobody's raising their hand. I'm not raising my hand either. Imagine being sold out for God the way Enoch was, where God would say, this man cared about me so much. He cared about his faith. He cared about pleasing me so much that he did not let Enoch die. When he says he translated him, he pulled him bodily from this earth, and he never had to suffer death. That's an amazing thing, is it not? An amazing thing. You see where faith, and he said he did this by what? Faith. Faith. In verse 6, it says, but without what? Faith. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He must believe that he's that tangible substance, right? That he said all the way back in verse 1. He's that tumble. He is. He is alive. He is living. He's always been here. He always will be here. He'll be here when there is no more. He has no beginning, he has no end, right? He must believe that He is, and not only that, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that is exactly what Enoch did. He walked with God and he diligently sought His counsel through his life. That's something we should be looking forward to trying to do. And it's amazing that it takes us to be 50, 60, 70 years old before we really understand this sort of stuff. Because in our younger years, we all got tied up. You know, we come up and we grow up. We go through. We're just babies and we grow up, and then we have to go to school and that starts being part of our life. And then we get married and that starts, and we have kids and that starts being part of our life. And it's amazing how all this life stuff crowds out God, right? But, you know, in our marriages and our lives, if we put God first, imagine how well everything else would fit together if we search out God first. And imagine how well a marriage goes when you have two people. I had this idea, and there's some preacher said it one time, or some teacher or whatever, and they say, imagine God as a light bulb like 9 feet in the air, and you have a wife on one side and a husband on the other side. And if they keep their eyes on that light, they'll meet in the middle. Right? If they take their eyes off that light, they'll never go anywhere they want to go. Keep your eyes on God. That's the idea. And he walked with faith. He walked with God through his faith. And without that faith, it is impossible to please God. Goes on in verse 7, we meet this guy named Noah. We know who Noah is, right? He built a boat. He built a boat. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen. By faith, being warned of things not yet seen. Okay, Noah. I'm going to make this worldwide flood. Wait a second, God, this never happened before. It's going to be 120 years from now. Man, that's a long way away. You see, can we walk by faith for a week? Maybe. Can you do it for 120 years? You see what you're talking about here? You see the idea of this faith walk that they're talking about? Faith, by faith Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, not seen as yet. It says he moved with fear. When it says, did he fear God? He understood what he believed God, knowing that these things had not yet been seen, but I have faith in this all-powerful God, right? He can do what He says He can do. If God can make the world, we have people scoffing at the worldwide flood to this day, do we not? We have believers that scoff at the worldwide flood, so-called Christian believers that scoff at the worldwide flood. If God can make this world, if He can make everything in it, what makes us think that He can't flood the world? Why do we continually put God in a box? So we can make Him be what we want Him to be. So we can make Him be what we want Him to be. So we can become our own little gods and we can control God. Because that's what we want. That's our human nature. That's what we're constantly battling against. But Noah, being warned of things yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house. He saved himself, 7 other people. I could imagine people walking by and Noah building this huge ark, and I just get it. They rebuilt the ark. Where's that at? Missouri? Well, they rebuilt it somewhere in Missouri, right? Cincinnati? If I ever get a chance to go do it, I want to go see it, because they say the spectacle of seeing how big it is amazing. I can understand why it took somebody with, you know, saws and things 120 years, because, you know, they don't have big cranes and everything like that. It's not like on the movies where they had these big rock monsters taking and moving things around. Yes, sir. Huge. Size of a football stadium. Bigger than a football field. So, by Noah, he prepared this ark. And I can just imagine all his friends coming by. What the heck are you doing? There's going to be a flood. God done told me. You're crazy. What's a flood? You are nuts. For 120 years. It says, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. By his actions, by him building this ark and having faith to build that ark, the whole rest of the world was condemned because they didn't believe. By his faith, he condemned the world. It's not like he stood up there and said, y'all are a bunch of losers and you're all going to die. By his own faith, he condemned the world. Why, how did he show his faith? By building an ark. Where was the work? Where did the works come from? His faith, right? Where do our works come from? Our faith. God does it, we don't do it. And he became the heir of righteousness by his faith. Faith. Not by his works, right? His works flow from his faith, but if he didn't have faith first, he would have never done the works, right? You see this whole faith thing going on here, guys? Understand, are they highlighting on the individual here? They're giving examples of individuals that acted upon faith, but are the individuals the highlight here? What is the highlight of this whole chapter we're talking about so far? Faith. Faith. Christ alone said by faith you could move mountains. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move, right? Oh, to have that kind of little faith. How big is a mustard seed? I've heard it's the smallest of all seeds. That's what I heard. I don't know how true that is. I'm not a botanist or a green thumb person or whatever. I'm a technician. I work on cars for a living. Okay, now we get to somebody that they know. They really know. It says, by faith, Abraham. Who's this Abraham character? Father of Israel. The father of the Jews, right? By faith, Abraham, when he was called out of a place which he should after, or called out into a place, called out into a place, after which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. God reached down and said to Abraham, leave right here and go out to here, and I'm going to give this to you. If God reached down and said, Mike McFarland, there's a place in New Mexico I want you to go to, and I want you to sojourn out there. I'm going to give it to you. How, you know, what kind of faith does it take to drop everything you have, give up all your inheritance you have back here, and move someplace else that you don't know? You don't know. I'm going to move you to the Amazon forest where a bunch of cannibals are. Really, God? You see? What kind of faith would it take for you to give up everything you're comfortable with and make a move like that? And he's not a young man at this particular time, is he not? How old was Abraham at this time? I don't know exactly, but I don't like one. He's on up at his age. Let me say he's above 50. Probably above 60. This was not a teaching on Abraham, but he was not a young man. He already had sizable wealth, did he not? And he had inherited where he was going to be at. But he gave all this up. What kind of faith does it take to do that? And it says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. What does it mean to sojourn? He wondered. He never had a home to set his feet down. He never had a roof over his head, a permanent dwelling over his head. His life was in a tent going from place to place. He sojourned in the land of what? Promise, right? That means that he did not have it. It was not his. It was not given. It was promised to him, but he did not possess it yet, did he not? It was yet out there as a promise. And in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and their heirs with him, the same promise. Even Isaac and Jacob continued to dwell with them. They never possessed the land that the promise that had been given to them, did they? They sojourned. They moved around in this land all their lives, walking to and fro. And God's promise was, that's going to be y'all's. And by faith, they continued to believe throughout their life. Is that not a walk with God? You have to have faith to do that sort of stuff. You see where the faith comes into here. It says, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder was... Before somebody calls, I want to get this thing turned off. I should have turned it off before I started. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What kind of city has a foundation whose builder and maker is God? What kind of city are we talking about here? Is it something that can be made by these hands or these men? He's looking for something that was built by God. The foundation was laid by God, and he's looking for this heavenly city that's been promised to them. It goes on in verse 11. It says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive the seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. How old was Sarah when she conceived? Many years old. How old was Abraham? 100. Even a time when ladies lived to be, when people lived long lives, right? How long did the patriarchs live? 300 years. 300 years. Well, it's saying that at 80, she was already past due time to have children. Yeah. But beauty has nothing to do with the ability to make children. She evidently, as an older woman, she was a very pretty woman. Yeah. Well, that's something you might be able to say. Are you trying to say that all older women today have no good looks? Are you trying to say that? I'm not going there. I'm not going there. This is not that kind of discussion. Yeah, but since that's through faith, she had, and we look back in 18, it says, now Abraham, 18, Genesis 18:1, it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it had ceased to be with error after a manner of woman. In other words, it was past her time to have children. And what was Sarah's reaction when she heard what God had said? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child when I am old? She's like, she knows that she is past that time. She's like, is God going to do this for me? But she had faith that God could do this. She had faith because it says so here. It says, through faith, also Sarah herself received the strength to conceive and was delivered a child even when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And who had promised? God had promised Abraham when he had said, God, I'm an old man and I don't have an heir. And he said to Abraham, don't worry, I've got that fixed. In due time, I'm going to take care of that. And don't worry, your heir will come out of your own lines and it'll come through Sarah. That was the promise. But here I am. Imagine going through life in faith and it's like, I ain't getting any younger here, God. When are you going to do this? Isn't it hard to be patient? We see people, and you can kind of understand these people. They're in first century, they're looking, they're believing that God's going to come back in their lifetime, are they not? Did they not, are the apostles believe that? Who here believes that Jesus Christ can come back in our lifetime? Who believes that Jesus Christ can come back in the next 5 minutes? It's His time frame, not ours. That's the way we should be living life. That's living life under faith. It says, therefore sprang there even one in him a good is dead, so that many stars of the skies in multitude, and the sands which is by sea, the seashore, innumerable. Boy, there's a tongue twister, is it not? I like bringing that one into the 20th century. But let's jump over to my other translation. It says, therefore, from one man, him as good as dead. It talks about one man, Abraham, which, you know, he really couldn't conceive. He was old, and the woman was old. Were born descendants as many as stars of the heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. Was that not the promise that God made to Abraham? That he was going to make his seed as many, count the stars or count the sand, and say, and there's going to be more seed than that? Now, in verse 13, it kind of comes to a little different conclusion. It says, these all died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They never received the promises that they were promised. They did not lose their faith, did they not? They all believed in God. You know what? God may not come back in our lifetime. we may die before God comes back. Should that affect our faith? Did it affect the apostles' faith? They come to understand late in their lifetime, you could see a change in the understanding, right? Having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers in a pilgrims, as strangers and pilgrims on earth. Oh, that we would understand that we are strangers and pilgrims on earth. This is not our home. We are only passing through. There's a song about that, and I can't remember the rest of it. But this is not our home. We belong in a heavenly world, a heavenly kingdom. Whenever we die, say we live 100 years on this earth, which is a long time, is it not? Not for some of y'all, but for me it would be. I'm still young. Say you live 100 years on this earth, what do we have out there in eternity? What's 100 years? Is this where we put our faith in? Do we put our faith in what we can grasp here on earth? Is that the substance they were talking about early back over in verse 1? It's so easy to put a substance to grasp on that, is it not? It's so easy to grasp on that because we can see that. It's tangible. We see it. And that's just the way we are. We like what we see. But they were persuaded. They didn't lose their faith. They understood. They trusted in these promises. And they had seen these things. They understood it was afar off. And they were persuaded that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. It says, "For they say such things and declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might had a return, opportunity to return." So they sought for this country that could not be seen. But if they had been mindful of the country from whence they left, if they had said, "Well, you know, God, I've walked this way for a while and it seems not to be working out. I think I'll go back home." And you go back home and say, "You know, yeah. What about that God thing? Well, you know, had too much linguine the night before." You understand that the world is embracing. If you're ready to step out of what your faith, the world is embracing and will take you back in a heartbeat. It wants you back. When you take and you accept Jesus Christ, the world is trying to grab you back. Come on. Let's just go out and have a little fun. Your friends want to grab you back into that lifestyle you came out of. And it's enticing, is it not? Does not the world have beautiful things that entices us in our humanity? So are we. So are we. Understand, we think we're in a Christian culture. This is not a Christian culture. We're in a pagan culture, folks. It says, but now, so they're making a little transition here, right? But now they desired a better country that is heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. That's the city that they were talking about before. The city that God had prepared. They had trust that God had prepared for them something that had already been made, and they had faith that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, folks. They died still in faith, knowing and trusting in the Father and what he was going to do. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten. We know this story, do we not? Hey, Isaac, get that donkey over there. Throw up some wood. We're going to go do a sacrifice. What are we going to sacrifice, Father? Just get the stuff. Let's go. They get the stuff and they carry it up there. God had told Abraham, you need to sacrifice your son, your only begotten son. Huh? The one you waited for 90 years. The one you waited for 90 years. You tried him. Was this trial for God? Did God know what Abraham was going to do already? Who was this trial for? Abraham, or maybe us? He tried Abraham, and with the offers of he said to Abraham, go and kill your son, which is supposed to be your only heir, which I promised you that the seeds of all the world was going to come from. God, really? Was that his reaction? By faith, he had faith that God was going to do what he said. And what does the scripture say? It says, of whom it was say, Isaac shall be called thy seed. He is the one that's going to be the heir to Abraham. Isaac was this heir, not Ishmael. What is Abraham's idea here? It says, accounting that God was able to rise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him a figure. Abraham knew that God was honorable. Abraham knew that God said that he was going to bring his plan through Isaac. Abraham knew that if God allowed him to cut Isaac down, that he believed that God could raise Isaac right back up from the dead. Is that not faith? How many people have seen somebody raised from the dead? Spiritually, every one of us. Physically, not me. I know it happens because the Bible says it happens. It's not normal to, is it not? It happens. It has happened in past. Is it impossible for God? Nothing's impossible for God if it's within his plan. But that wasn't God's plan here. God did not allow that knife to drop on Isaac. God that sent an angel down, the angel held his hand. Held and provided a suitable sacrifice for at that particular time. Is that not a type and shadow of God providing the suitable sacrifice for the rest of us? But that's a whole different study, and I'm not going to get in there. But you understand that by faith, Abraham was willing to do whatever God told him to do, even if it gone against his own idea of what was right and wrong. If God said it, do it. You see where the faith flows from that? And it says, by faith. Yeah, 20. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things that was to come. By faith he blessed them. Whenever we know the story where, they send out of he sent Esau out to go get him some prime game because he liked that good gamey meat. And, you know, the story of the mom coming in is like, wait a second, I'm going to get you some goat here. This is a, Esau must have been a hairy dude. Oh, I'm hairy, and I could not, I don't think I could pass that test. It must have smelled bad, too. But understand that God had this plan. God moved through who he wanted to. It said early on that the younger was going to, I mean, the older was going to serve the younger, right? And if you look at the blessings that was given by Abraham, that's exactly what, it was exactly according to God's plan. Now, regardless of what manipulations that anybody else wanted to do, it was according to God's plan, was it not? By faith they did this. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, left both sons of Joseph and worship leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children from Israel and gave commandment to take his bones with him. Joseph knew that they were not going to stay forever in Israel. Or in Egypt, excuse me, in Egypt. He knew that there was going to become a time when they were going to leave. And by his word, imagine this. Where's that faith? You see where we're going with this. And I don't want to go into Moses because I don't have enough time. I'm already 3 minutes over where I usually shut down, and we have another half a book to go through. No. Okay, wait a second. I'm going to open up for discussion, but being we're not going to recreate everything, we'll go ahead and shut down the teaching at this particular time, and we'll open up for discussion within the group. Let me close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for this time together. We ask that you would give us a piece of the understanding of the faith that some of these people have. Father, you said if we had the faith of a mustard seed that we could move mountains. Father, I just, that tells you how faithless this generation is. And we ask that you would move within each one of us and draw us closer to you. And we ask that you would be with each one of us as we live our lives. And we be that shining light that shows Christ through us as we walk. Be with us as we have our 4th of July feast tomorrow. Let it be to your honor and not to ourselves. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.